Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are at the Aviva Trattoria in Malden, and we encourage everyone to get down here. You can get a free book signed by Howard Lawrence Carr. Enjoy a delicious meal. I suggest the eggplant milanese. And just have an all-around great time. It's a beautiful day. It's a great time to come. And we'll be here till 6 o'clock. I wanted to talk briefly here before we go into some of my favorite memories from parents at school board meetings, just giving these hacks a piece of their mind. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in D.C. Nancy Pelosi's in a jam. She wants to pass this infrastructure bill so that Joe Biden can have some sort of win on his domestic agenda. But it's looking tricky. And the reason is, it's because people like Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema understand that their constituents aren't on board with this reconciliation bill, this $3.5 trillion boondoggle. And it doesn't matter if Pelosi and Psaki and Biden say it costs $0. They know their constituents aren't buying it. They're not buying it. And as Joe Manchin put it really well, the brutal fiscal reality exists and we have to deal with it. And so now what Democrats are doing, because they've never really understood that you get more bees with honey, they've been attacking Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. And, you know, we had Joy Behar yesterday slamming them. And of course, it's a crisis. You know, it's not just that they're disagreeing and holding up the bill. It's that they are threatening democracy as we know it. But probably my favorite take on this came from Representative Ro Khanna. He doesn't understand that the reason Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin are getting all this special treatment, because, you know, usually it's AOC and the squad that are getting all the attention, is because they're senators and they need them to get anything through. And they hold the power in this situation. They hold the leverage. But Ro Khanna does not get that. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's a little bit jealous that he's not getting the same treatment as Kyrsten Sinema. Let's play this cut 28.
Senator Sinema is being treated like a head of state. I've never requested or met with the president in the Oval Office. I meet with his staff. She meets with him like every other day. And then she has a whole presidential delegation, Ricchetti and Susan Rice, all go to her office. And all we want to know is, what does she want? I mean, she's a first-term senator, and she hasn't put out a framework yet.
I don't think he meant to make her seem like such a boss, but he certainly did. I mean, yes, queen. She's acting like she's a head of state. She's getting invited to meet with Joe Biden, and he's mad because he only meets with the president's staff. I don't think he meant it to be a self-owned, but it really was. Beyond these bills and what's happening in D.C., I did want to talk about this latest story. National School Boards Association asked Biden administration to look into angry parents as possible domestic terrorism and hate crime threats. Education Week reports that the National School Boards Association sent a letter to Biden suggesting that the Patriot Act be enforced against these unruly parents who keep showing up to meetings across the country demanding answers and accountability from the very school boards that control their children's education. Now, thankfully, I have such good callers that someone actually brought up Terry McAuliffe's comment on this, and we should play this again to kind of set us up here. Cut 12, please, Jared.
Veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledgeable about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. But, you know.
And It makes sense that they don't want to hear from parents, because at a lot of these meetings, they cut the mics right off when some of these moms get up there and start talking. They give them like 60 seconds, and the second that they go over, they cut them off. They wipe off the podium. They get them out of there. And we actually have some cuts here from, and this has been over the last 18 months, some of my favorite cuts from parents who, unfortunately, for the National School Boards Association, did not shut up and sit down and just, you know, go along to get along. They were not sheep. They found their voices. They stuck up for their children. That's something that should be celebrated. It's obviously not. But let's play some of these. Cut 13, this is a Virginia dad who has had it with the school system.
You should all be fired from your day jobs, because if your employers knew that you were more inefficient than the DMV, you would be replaced in a heartbeat. I literally just finished a conference call because I'm having to multitask to be here to address you guys. You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you're some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making, when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium. Because you know what? There are people like me and a line of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, parents, but you look at grocery store workers, you look at servers, you look at nurses. Like, people didn't have the option to lock down and still get a paycheck for months and months and months if they wanted to continue to work. And these school board people, they don't care. They enjoy sitting behind their masks. They enjoy having, you know, their little microphones. And it's fathers like that who are real Americans and who are telling you how most people actually feel. You can hear the frustration in his voice. Let's play another one to refresh people's memories. Cut 15, this is let's play cut 16. This is Matt Walsh. He's a pretty well-known conservative, and he was speaking, and he just lit up a school board meeting. He knew exactly how much time he was going to get, and he did not hold back. Cut 16.
Matthew Walsh.
I would thank you all for allowing me to speak to you tonight, but you tried not to allow it, yet here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students, to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators.
And you know what's amazing, too, is that when someone like a parent at a school board meeting speaks out, I think normally that wouldn't cause so much fear from the left because no one listens to them. But a silver lining of this pandemic is that people started to appreciate other people besides celebrities and athletes, and they started listening to regular people. And that scares the left, because they don't want parents showing up at these school board meetings. They don't want parents yelling and you know, going viral on Twitter. You see a lot of censorship with YouTube and all these platforms, that sometimes you have a video like that and it gets taken down because it's getting so much traction from like-minded people who share that view. And then you saw parents running for school board. You saw that woman in Carmel, New York. She was one of my favorites. And she looked at the school board committee and she said, "I will be here every single day. I'm retired. I have nothing else to do." And I thought, now that's fighting words. Like, I'm going to show up here and bother you people. And bothering people works. I mean, it really does. Just being consistent and resisting the nonsense. We are going to be right back. We have a lot more to get to today. 844-500-4242. We'll take more of your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
So, what policy do you have that teachers are not allowed to go on social media and indoctrinate? They took an oath, a responsibility, and they're going against everything that they stand for.
End.
Well, end. I understand.
End it? I have to end it?
So
why?
I
why? You're on my dollar. Why?
Well, actually, I work for nothing doing this.
Oh, you work for nothing. Oh.
I do. This is a volunteer position, number one.
It's
number
still two. My taxes paying for everything. This podium is every taxpayer's dollar here. We have rights. We have rights.
And you're making general assumptions?
No, I'm not making assumptions. I'm not. I know what I'm speaking about. See, you know I don't I'm agree not, with you, engage. So it's an assumption.
That was that woman's I'm paying for this microphone, Mr. Green moment. And she's absolutely right. Everyone should be able to have their voices heard. By the way, this has just popped up on my Twitter feed, and it's Raheem Kassam, who's a blue check mark. He wrote, "Hey, Fauci, we got more of your emails." Uh-oh, that could be something. Hopefully that pops out in the next couple hours. Eden Pure is bringing back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code word GRACEBOGO. This offer ends Sunday, October 3rd at midnight, and shipping is free. Jared, what is the poll question? And what are the results thus far?
Which agency of the Biden administration is the most corrupt, the CDC or the FBI?
FBI.
FBI still in the lead, 75% to 25% for the CDC.
All right, let's go to Mark. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Grace. Nice to talk to you again. I spoke with you last week. I'm the unbookable comic. I wanted to mention, if this was as transferable and as dangerous and as bad as it is, why haven't most of the homeless people died? You know, they're not healthy. They don't have insurance. Why can't people see so many things that are red flags that should make us say, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no, and I have heard people ask that question, and I don't know. I mean, what Fauci tends to claim is that everything evolves. It's evolving. It's an evolution. We're evolving. So in other words, you know, you can't be held to anything because everything changes. You can't even grab onto it. And I think you have a good point there, but I'm glad you brought up health insurance, and here's why, because there's another story out there that really blew my mind as far as the vaccine goes. This is from Ochsner Health. Good afternoon. You're receiving this email because you currently have a spouse or domestic partner as a dependent on your 2021 Ochsner benefits plan. New in 2022, Ochsner is implementing a new spousal COVID vaccine fee as part of its 2022 medical plan premiums. This means if your spouse slash domestic partner is covered by one of our medical plans and is unvaccinated against COVID-19, a $100 per pay period fee will apply. Remember when they were offering to pay people to get the vaccines, and now you're going to get fined for not
it's
getting
science.
It? I guess it is science. And I'm glad that people, including a lot of these NBA players, are speaking up and voicing their opinions. Let's play a few more of these. Let's play Bradley Beal. He has gotten a lot of attention from sports writers and from the media for his comments on the vaccine, but he didn't say anything, as far as I can tell, that is incorrect or immoral. Cut 17.
Every player, every person in this world is going to make their own decision for themselves. I would like an explanation to, you know, people with vaccines, why are they still getting COVID? If that's something that we are supposed to highly be protected from. Like, that's funny that, oh, it reduces your chances of going to the hospital. It doesn't eliminate anybody from getting COVID, right? So is everybody in here vaxxed? I would assume, right? So you all can still get COVID, right?
We're less likely to die or go to the hospital.
Okay, but you can still get COVID, right? So, and you can still pass it along with the vax, right? I'm just asking a question.
You could tell, though, that these reporters are mad. These reporters take it so personally. It's like they came up with Operation Warp Speed or something. I thought that was Donald Trump. And let's listen to Jonathan Isaac talking about this, why he won't be taking it, cut 19.
Jonathan, Josh Robbins with The Athletic. What is it about the vaccine that makes you hesitant to get it?
I would start with I've had COVID in the past, and so our understanding of antibodies, of natural immunity has changed a great deal from the onset of the pandemic, and is still evolving. I understand that the vaccine would help if you catch COVID, and you'll be able to have less symptoms from contracting it. But with me having COVID in the past and having antibodies, with my current age group and physical fitness level, it's not necessarily a fear of mine. Taking the vaccine, like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare, chance, but the possibility of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself.
Now, everything he said was true, and seems like he's trying to understand the science as best he can. But as far as our medical experts are concerned, that opinion that he just shared is not allowed. And Rand Paul, while he was talking to Becerra, brought this up. Let's play cut 31.
We're using the facts, we're following the science, and following the law.
Nobody's arguing the severity of this, but you are completely ignoring the science on natural immunity. So's Fauci, so's the whole group. You're just ignoring it because you want submission. You want everybody just to submit to your will, do as you're told, despite the evidence, the large body of scientific evidence that says naturally acquired immunity does work, is an important part of how we're all going to recover from this. So is the vaccine. But when you add them together, we're at a much different place than if you ignore them.
Yeah, and something Rand Paul brought up that I was very happy about was that a lot of people think that Kathy Hochul from New York, she proudly announced that she was going to fire all of these nurses and healthcare workers if they didn't get vaccinated, and she was going to bring in the National Guard. And Rand Paul brought this up, which is argument that so many people have made, which is, wait a second, a year ago we were celebrating these healthcare workers, and now we're going to fire them? Now they're not going to be able to pay their bills? Because they probably, a good amount of them, already had COVID. They're probably not afraid of it since they had to work around it so many times. Listen to Rand Paul, cut 32.
There was no vaccine for a year and a half. They took care of people, risked their lives. They got it, survived. And now people like you are arrogant enough to say you can no longer work in the hospital because you've already had the disease. We're going to force you to take a vaccine that the science does not prove is better than naturally acquired. That's an arrogance that should be chastened.
I totally agree. And Rand Paul actually gives Becerra a little bit of advice. If you want to stop vaccine hesitancy, this is what he suggests Rand does. Cut 30.
You want to lessen vaccine hesitancy? So do I. You want to have that happen? Quit lying to people about naturally acquired immunity. Quit lording it over people, acting as if these people are deplorable and unwashed. Try persuasion instead of government cudgels. Try humility instead of arrogance. Try freedom instead of coercion. But most of all, try understanding that there's no more basic medical right than deciding what we inject into our bodies.
Yeah, and the one time I had a conversation with someone who was hesitant to get it, and I explained that I was getting it, this person was asking me, oh, why are you getting it? And I said, why? And they looked at me and said, do you think I should get it? And I said, yeah, you got to decide for yourself. And I bet you that was the closest that person ever got to being convinced. And it wasn't because I was saying to them, you have to get it, or else I'm not going to let you come to my house ever again, and I'm going to make sure you get fired. You just have to give people a little bit of freedom to decide and do their own research. That's exactly what Nicki Minaj was saying before she was, like, banned off Twitter. 844-500-4242. We're talking to Dr. Nan Hayworth next. We're live from the Aviva Trattoria in Malden. Come on by. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are live at Aviva Trattoria in Malden. Everyone should come on by. The parking is free, but I want to be very specific. You just have to park at the Jackson Street parking garage, get your ticket validated, and it's totally free to come here. So make sure you do that. We're at Aviva Trattoria. Howie is here. His books are here. You can get one for free. We're having a really fun time. Joining me now, and I'm so excited, she's become a bit of a regular, Dr. Nan Hayworth. Thanks for coming on, Doctor.
It is my privilege to join you always, Grace. Thank you.
Now, Doctor, we don't often have good news, especially thanks to our mainstream media. And there's a reason why I think no one probably knows this headline that I'm about to read to you. But it's a really happy bit of news that everyone can appreciate, or at least anyone normal who enjoys, I don't know, going outside and living life could appreciate. Here's the news from Axios. New COVID cases fall by 25%. That is a bit of stunning news, Nan, and we haven't heard that anywhere.
No, it's wonderful news, Grace. And of course, apropos of your always perceptive and superb work on, healthcare heroes being under the gun completely unfairly and unjustly. This is the kind of news that the authoritarian left won't champion. And it's not necessarily because they wish us ill. I don't think they do. But because they cherish that control. And they know that when people hear this kind of news, they will be far less welcoming of the measures that are coercive and all too often draconian.
Yeah, and for a long time, and I'll be honest, I have some events coming up in the fall, so I was curious based off lockdowns and things like that. What we heard a lot was there was going to be new fall variants and there was going to be new spikes.
Yeah.
And now that the decline in cases is going to lead, which is, again, good news, to a decline in deaths. Why do you think this is happening when all of our predictions and all of our models were telling us we were going to have a massive spike?
Well, the Delta variant has been a very, very aggressive variant and has burned its way through our population and, unfortunately, certainly has killed all too many Americans. But it has rendered most of our population much more immunologically robust against new variants of COVID that may come along. And note well that Scandinavia, Denmark, Norway, now Sweden, all have lifted all of their COVID restrictions and have said, we're done. It is time to resume life in full. We will live with this virus much as we do with seasonal influenza, same kind of thing. And we can resume life in full. That message is not the one, again, that the American left embraces. And about half of our population remains in a state of fear. And I respect that. I'm a doctor in the Northeast, so I do understand these folks. But it is time, Grace. It is time for us to get back to reality. And we can do this. And of course, Merck's new, you mentioned to me our message earlier, Merck has a new antiviral medication that sounds very promising. That's going to save lives, much in the same way Tamiflu does for influenza, for seasonal flu. So we have all these good reasons not to live out of fear anymore, not to demand that other people vaccinate when they have doubts that can be very well placed, but to get on with life together.
Yeah, Doctor, as long as Donald Trump doesn't come out and say that he's a fan of Merck's, I think it will be okay. But yeah, we have seen some of these treatments get extremely politicized by the left. And I'm sure as a doctor it bothers you, because I don't remember a time really, at least in my lifetime, where, a popular podcast host or a conservative could talk about a medication and it would become this, this really evil thing that people were not supposed to take and that some places were banning in some states. It really is kind of a strange thing to watch medicine become so partisan.
Oh, Grace, I just got you back.
Oh, sorry about that, Doctor. Let's move on a little bit here, because I did want to ask you, we talked about this a little bit last time, about obesity and the effects it has on COVID. And now that COVID cases seem to be declining, do you think there will be a shift back to worrying and trying to promote healthier living among Americans? Because in a lot of these places that had a less deadly reaction to COVID, it is because they have healthier lifestyles.
Most definitely, Grace. It should have a permanent place in our national mindset. Obesity is a killer. It is a silent, not necessarily so silent killer. It causes hypertension. It causes diabetes. Certainly contributes to cancers. It is a general stress on the body. And it, with respect to COVID, the COVID virus in particular grabs onto the molecules that our body makes when we're obese, to keep the high pressure head on the blood circulating through our bodies. So please, 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 everybody concentrate on doing what you can to keep your BMI normal.
Doctor, I do want to ask you for your reaction. Dr. Fauci, the most popular, you're my favorite doctor in America, but he's the most popular, bar none. He was on with Hugh Hewitt, and I have to play this for you. It's a two-parter, but first I want to play Hugh Hewitt's question, and then I want to get your reaction to Fauci's response. So this is cut three.
I've lost confidence in the CDC and the FDA, and I actually believe a lot of Americans, a significant part of America, now have lost confidence in you, Dr. Fauci. Is there a point where you will say, I do more harm than good because people don't listen to me anymore, and step aside?
No, absolutely, unequivocally no, Hugh. Sorry. I mean, I agree with a lot of the things that you've been saying. You come from a different perspective than I do. But I think the thing that gets lost in the discussion and that people need to understand, and I do know that some people don't understand it and don't accept it, even if they, you know, smart people who evaluate it in their own context, is that we have been dealing with an evolving situation.
Now, Dr. Nan Hayworth, have you ever seen that kind of arrogance come from a public health official? I mean, he's refusing to step aside, not because he's doing something that no one else can do, but it seems like because he can't step away from the limelight.
Well, it does seem, Grace, that Dr. Fauci has very much embraced his celebrity status. I was an early defender of his, in the fog of early COVID. I gave everybody a general amnesty because it really was a very much evolving situation. But even, Grace, in over the past, let's say, year, okay, we have known certain things with solid evidence, and the impressions have not changed. For example, that children really do not need to mask. Okay, that's not part of the deal. Yet, Dr. Fauci seems, unfortunately, all too much to have embraced the politicization that the Biden administration so brazenly demonstrates. So in that sense, Dr. Fauci has lost my trust, and I hate to say that, but he has lost my trust and respect as a figure advising the American public. Not only that, but his flailing about the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the NIH funding that he approved to go to that institute. Rand Paul, of course, and you've talked about it, Rand Paul has been rightly a hero in aggression on this issue. He has not been forthcoming. Seems as though he's trying to defend himself. I think he's very worried about his legacy. I think he's very worried about what could be discovered that would be much to his detriment in the entire origin of this virus.
Yeah, and Dr. Nan, the last thing I'll say is there's been a lot of talk, and especially with Dr. Rand Paul, about how to convince people who are hesitant about the vaccine to get it. And something I always thought of is just tell people, talk to your, medical professional, talk to your doctor, talk to your physician, and they can advise you. And I'm sure you've had a lot of people asking you, what do I do? And do you think that could be more effective than Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel yelling at people and calling people dumb?
No question about it. It's inherently disrespectful. It is, and as you and I know painfully, Grace, and of course you're very discerning listeners, it is directed at a particular segment of the population whom they love to deride and ridicule and disdain, namely everybody who supported the last administration. The administration, by the way, that gave us the vaccines that now Mr. Colbert and his troop of bizarre, syringe clad dancers are championing. Yeah, thank you, President Trump, for that. Oh, and thank you for to every voter who voted for President Trump and made it possible for us to have this happen.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Nan Hayworth. We appreciate you joining us. Hope to have you on again soon. The dancing syringes. If you didn't see that, that was like watching the death of comedy before your very eyes. It's not even a question anymore. Comedy no longer exists in this country. 844-500-4242. We are at Aviva Trattoria in Malden. The parking is free. You just have to park at the Jackson Street parking garage. I'll be joined by Howie Carr very shortly, and we're going to talk about everything, including breaking news from McDonald's. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are at Aviva Trattoria in Malden, and this is a wonderful spot to come visit. Howie and I, we have free books from Howie. There's free parking. So if you're a cheap bastard like Howie Carr, now is the time to get yourself to Aviva Trattoria, and you can also get a delicious meal. Howie, what did you have today?
I had antipasto. It was excellent.
You also had a little dessert, too?
I had cannoli.
Cannoli.
Yes, I split it. I offered you one, but you didn't take it, so Joe the engineer had it.
Yes, and he enjoyed it very much. We have a lot to get to here, Howie, but first I wanted to give you some exciting news. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
McDonald's is bringing back the McRib again.
I was never a big McRib guy, but I know a lot of people like it, so that makes me happy.
The BBQ favorite will be available on menus beginning November 1st, so we just have to wait 1 month.
I'm going to guess that it's going to be a little more higher priced than it was when it was offered during the Trump years.
Oh, you think the inflation's going to affect the McRib?
Only in a transitory way.
Yes, only temporarily. Well, it's a transitory menu item, so should be quick either way. The McRib has built up a substantial following over the years, despite the fact that it has not been a consistent menu item for the fast food giant. In other news, a little bit of hypocrisy and a bit of a royal update. Do you remember, Howie, how Meghan and Harry were in New York City last week? They were getting like all these private tours from Bill de Blasio without their masks on.
You know, I kind of don't pay attention to Meghan and Harry all that much, Grace.
Well, they were in New York with Mayor Bill de Blasio.
I'll take your word for it. Okay.
And you know how they got back to L.A.?
Private jet.
Yes, sir. Meghan and Harry flew home in a private jet.
Of course they did, because they're worried about our carbon emissions. Everybody
it's
here.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
Yes, and
it's important that we switch down from SUVs to Yugos, but so they can have the private jet.
An LA to NYC round trip charter flight costs around $115,000.
It's the only way to fly.
Absolutely. And here's a speaking of hypocrisy, I think you'll enjoy this, Howie. You heard that our friend Matthew Dowd is running for lieutenant governor of Texas, right?
Yes.
Well, there's an old piece that's circulating. It's from ABC 2018, and the title of it, and it's by Matt Dowd, the title of it is, U.S. White Male Christians Need to Step Back and Give Others Room to Lead. I'm going to read you a couple of notable lines
okay,
from this.
Okay, thank you.
But white male Christians still dominate the rooms where most decisions are made. This much must change in a much more dramatic way. Instead of waiting for the diverse population of America to keep pushing and prodding, I would humbly suggest that we as white male Christians take it upon ourselves to step back and give more people who don't look like us access to the levers of power. We don't have to wait, and our country is in desperate need for more diverse leaders. It is that diverse leadership which will not only represent more of what America looks like today. And then, yeah, so he's asking the white males to step back. And then, strangely enough, he is running for lieutenant governor.
He has two words for you, Grace. Never mind.
Yeah. Well,
okay. I don't think that he's going to go too far. He's running as a Democrat now, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And he's talking about how, you know, he doesn't think that Texas should allow people to carry so openly. I'm sure that's going to go over real well.
To paraphrase David Marcus here, though, you know, when he was talking about the white males, he wasn't referring to himself. You can trust Matthew Dowd. He's not like the others.
Absolutely.
You're white, then you've been effing.
Now, when we get back, I want to read you, Howie, and I'm going to see if you can sit through this, David Brooks's gushing column about why we need to pass $4 trillion in infrastructure. But before we do that, this is a little bit of nationwide search news. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Remember when Jim Clyburn came out and supported Joe Biden? It was a big shift for Joe. That was a big get for him.
Yes, because he was on the ropes. He had gotten crushed in New Hampshire, and he was going down to South Carolina, and it was his last shot. And Clyburn got all the old black people to vote for him.
It was a lot of momentum for Joe Biden's campaign. Well, Joe Biden promised he wouldn't give his family jobs in his administration, but President Biden never said anything about his friends' families. President Biden nominated the daughter of Representative Jim Clyburn to a federal commission, adding to his string of hiring family members.
Is this filet mignon, Clyburn?
The president nominated Jennifer Clyburn Reed as the chair.
Oh, she's a different one. She's got another daughter named Mignon, you know.
As the chair of the Southeast Crescent Regional Commission that was created in 2008.
I love these regional commissions. Biden gave Manchin's wife a job on one of those regional commissions. I would like to be on a regional commission.
Oh, me too. Howie Carr's regional
I don't care. I don't care if it's New England, Mid-Atlantic states. I could be in the Pacific Northwest, and I could do the meetings via Zoom call.
Honest Howie's regional commission.
That would be good.
From anywhere.
That'd be good, and the meetings could be put online, and they could be advertised by Honest Howie's new product. You heard about that? The rollback better odometer adjustments.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. By the way, Merck said its experimental pill helped prevent serious illness and death in high-risk people infected with COVID-19, a step towards the virus's first at-home treatment. And all I want to say about this is from the Wall Street Journal, is as long as Joe Rogan, Donald Trump, Howie Carr, and a few others don't come out in support of this, we should be good.
Joe Rogan!
Did you see, by the way, that Brett Kavanaugh, who's fully vaccinated, tested positive for COVID-19?
Yes.
So they're all getting their hopes up that he's finally going to be punished for those drug rape gangs that he was running when he was 15 years old going to a Catholic high school.
Yeah, I'm sure Twitter is just a beautiful place to be right now.
I'm sure it is.
But didn't I tell you how, like, this is why I never buy it when people say, oh, you know, I want you to get vaccinated for your health, which I always say this, we're both vaccinated. But then when something like this happens to Brett Kavanaugh, it's very ghoulish, the response from the tolerant left.
To put it mildly.
All right, when we get back, I'm going to read Howie a little bit of David Brooks' latest and see how much he can sit through. We also have Crazy Karen coming up. Get to Aviva Trattoria today. It's The Grace Curley Show.